Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome to the second part of knowing more about the journey behind the Dhiram Stretcher Sum.ae group of businesses with the Fantastic Females, Susan and Selma themselves. I still want to go through the chronological order because I think we've got something going with that. So UKO came up in 2021, yeah. end of 2021, and that brought in logistical additions to the business. You had a warehouse.
Yes, and one person as well. Because we don't have a fitness background.
Yes.
UKO was actually Karim's idea.
Uh-huh.
And he had this idea together with his coach, with his PT.
Right.
And so we brought in that fourth person, this PT, just for UKO, and he did all the testing, and he told us what to buy, what not.
The product development.
So, and he's doing a lot of sales now and a lot of the footwork, and we wouldn't be able to do it without him.
Oh, wow.
Because he works as a PT, so he sells the items, like the products, to his clients. He has contacts in all the gyms and hospitality, and he just goes around all day and does one sales pitch after the other, which is amazing. And honestly, we wouldn't be able to.
No, it's been a huge part of it, and because he's been a huge part from the beginning, he believes in the product, so he will just promote it everywhere he goes, which is great.
In terms of the team, until now, you just had someone helping you with the community. Everything else was being managed by yourselves?
Yes, I don't know when exactly. I think around the same time that we launched UKO, a little bit later, we got our first employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we just couldn't handle everything.
We couldn't handle it anymore.
I can imagine. I was going to say, you handled it for way too long.
Yeah, we really did.
Longer than most people would have been able to, actually.
We spoke about it for a long time as well, but it was, for us, was finding the right person.
Yes.
Right. That was so important. So that's why it took us a lot longer than what it should have. And once she came on board, it was just relief.
I can imagine,
because she's amazing. She writes emails for us, and
amazing.
She handles
a lot of things.
All the background stuff.
UKO and everything. And
what allows us to be here today, really.
Yeah,
exactly. But then, I mean, she came on board, and what, a month later, told us she was leaving the UAE.
Yes.
And that came as a huge shock.
One month later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we asked her family wanted to go back, actually, to the Philippines. And then we asked her if she would be able to work from there for us, because she was doing so much stuff,
managing
the codes list and emails and everything.
And there was no real reason for her to actually be physically here in Dubai anyway.
Right.
So we're like, let's try and figure something out that you can work remotely.
Perfect, yeah.
And it worked out, luckily.
It did. Oh, it wasn't easy with the time difference, but at least we kept her, because we wouldn't have been able to do it without her, and it would have been very difficult to find someone as good as her to replace her locally.
Yes, I can imagine. And the hassle of training someone up from scratch.
Yeah.
Finding someone, and B, training someone to your kind of expectations, ways of working, is easily maybe 3 to 6 months.
Yeah,
until you get to a nice smooth rhythm. And then you've had a few more things adding to the roster. So let's finish with that.
Yeah, you mentioned warehouse.
Yeah.
So we were stocking our products in someone's warehouse. It was a company.
Yeah.
But it was very expensive. So we started thinking about getting our own place, which we would have combined with an office.
Yeah.
And that that was the initial thought. And then it took us months and months and months to actually find something.
Yeah, with the rent rises all increasing, it was disheartening to watch. So every time we would go find something, it was just more and more expensive.
It was exactly at that time, right?
Yeah.
So a year ago.
And actually, if we had rented at the start of the summer, we would have paid much less than what we did when we rented in October.
We don't think about things.
No, it's the value in the end.
Exactly.
We got there in the end,
exactly.
And I will I can't complain.
Yeah,
that's true. So we ended up renting in Goshi warehouses. I don't know if you know that.
No,
it's complex. It's a warehouse village.
Got it.
With some very cool stores and specialty coffee shops.
Wow.
Art studios.
Art studios, yeah.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I might have to go check it out. It's like Al Serkal, like a more
it's like
raw
a second
version of
Al Serkal. Mm. Yeah. Because Al Serkal is full.
Yeah. Like a more raw version. Yeah.
So we got a rather big space. We have a warehouse at the back for our things. And then we have a big central space which can be filled with chairs and tables for events. We were thinking workshops mostly. We have our office upstairs. We have a photo studio that we had to build for Yukio because it was getting expensive to rent a photo studio every time we wanted to get content. And it was also difficult because we had, you know, we have heavy items.
Yes.
So we had to hire someone to dismantle like the big rack and take it to the photo studio, assemble it, wait until the shoot was done, and then disassemble and bring back to the warehouse.
Oh my god, yeah. Mm.
So having our own space solved a lot of these problems.
Of course.
Everything is trial and error, so we were a bit frustrated. We wanted to make it a community center as well, and at first we tried to organize events and workshops, and it didn't work out as we thought it would for a number of reasons. Mm. I think it was all very difficult. We invested a lot of time and effort into organizing these workshops, into finding the right persons to host, like to lead them.
Yeah.
So if you are a small business and you want to organize a workshop, you don't have to go to a coffee shop. You can just rent our space and use all our facilities. That way it's much easier for us to handle because we just didn't have time to organize it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And now you're doing the Some Deals venture from that space as well, right? That's the latest addition.
Exactly. So we also have a small retail space and we have now launched the website.
Yep, officially. So now we have Some Deals. We just saw the amount of people that, you know, obviously everyone's looking for a deal. And I think as we grew, we were able to find, we knew where to get some of these really good deals. So naturally, we kind of wanted to give the ability to find these kind of deals on the community to the community.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where Some Deals came from, and that was another thing where we had to start the website and integrate it to now the some.ie and start filling it, which has been challenging. Well, it's a work in progress, so it's still very, very new. So we are bringing in stock, but it's very labor intensive at the moment for us.
Yeah.
So we are working on long-term solutions and slowly getting there. It's a very, in the US, you've got stuff like TK Maxx, you've got Marshalls, you've got so many different kind of warehouse outlet stores.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I still feel like it's very, very limited. There are some for sure, but there's still so much space.
Yes. For sure.
To be able to go in. So hoping to be able to help others by trying to give them the outlet prices.
That's amazing. So I know you guys know this, but I used to work in a retail business in the back end, in the management side of things. And there was a point where towards the end of when I left the company, this was part of a bigger group, and all the brands were making money only when there was a sale. Mm. And there was a big discussion about their a need for a standardized sale discount calendar in Dubai, maybe mirroring what we see in Europe. Whereas here, it kind of just happens overnight. We were talking about something that I saw on Gulf News's social media just today, saying there's a surprise 3-day sale.
Yeah.
And back-end wise or management wise, we would get to know about this maybe a few hours before the public would. So there would be a big scramble in the offices to get the lists out, to first ascertain which products need to be considered, get the lists made, get the margins sorted, the prices approved, make sure the prices are reflected in the POS systems, all before the state the sale that would most likely start in the next 24 hours.
I think things and have changed. Sorry, go on.
I think they have. I hope that they have. So there was a lot of chat around this, and we didn't see a lot of revenue coming in from our full-priced items. So do you think there's this whole psychology around people just wanting to buy sale items? Because you have UQ on one side, which you operate as a product business, and you're so involved with codes, etc., through Dhiram Stretcher. Do you feel, or you can bring in your personal experience as well, if you only prefer to shop with a code sales, what do you see in the market?
Personally, I would never pay retail for anything.
Yeah, personally, I wouldn't either.
I hate to say that loud, but I think Dhiram Stretcher in particular has probably taught people over the years that
There's always a way.
Yeah, there's always a way. There's always like, okay, don't buy it now. Just put it in the basket on the wish list and wait for it to be on sale. Like, there's always a different way. Like when I first moved here, I thought, okay, that I had this shop, that shop, that shop, and that was the only options I had. So I went in there and I bought what I had to buy because I thought they were the only options. But the longer you're here, the more you realize, wait, there are other options, not just in the mall.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've kind of taught people to shop smarter.
Yeah, for sure.
And not just buy the first thing that they see.
So does that very much seep into your personal shopping preferences as well? Yeah. Even with luxury items, like I find it hard myself as well as a user of Dhiram Stretcher to accept what's written as the MRP these days. Literally to accept. Yeah. Like, oh, there must be something that I can do. Or then if you can't justify it, then you just kind of leave it at that. And the other thing I wanted to mention was around this time, this is maybe 2018, so a while ago, the only profit-making entity within the larger group was their, they called it the second line or their outlet store. Mm-hmm. I won't name it on the show right now. And it was so funny because they were making these massive profits. The way it worked within was we would, as brands, sell our merchandise to them at maybe 30% of the cost. They would sell it at 50% off from the retail price, so they would still make money between the price that we'd sold them internally versus what they sell to the customers at. And they were making massive profits, expanding everywhere, making new kind of platforms as well. I think they went online around the same time. And this just goes to show that there's such a big market in terms of, and these were largely luxury products going into the second line business. There's such a large market out there, and maybe it's not fully tapped into. So some deals will come into this gap or this market now, right?
Yeah, that's what we're definitely aiming for. It's just finding the right products, I suppose, because not everything works.
Yes.
And yeah, just trying to find juggling everything.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Which brings me to my final question, which is, how do you guys do everything? I'm constantly asking Selma when I do see her. Her kids go to the same school as my son, so I see her briefly at pickup times or something.
You see me running past. That's how we do it.
I'm running past as well.
Yeah.
So we're running in opposite directions at the same speed. So, but how do you do it? For me, okay, let me first ask a different question. You guys have done a series of businesses, is how I would term it, and you are pretty involved in it, so it might have felt longer to you in terms of taking that journey. But from an outsider's perspective, I sound a little bit like a fangirl, but maybe I am of the business, which is why I wanted to speak to you guys. It's been a very rapid growth, and even from 2022, 21, all of that was pretty recent, and you've always found a way to kind of deflect or pivot into what works, what doesn't work, and then move on to the next thing. So I was asked this question actually on a podcast that I was called to speak on. And they said there are two ways generally that entrepreneurs kind of approach their journey. One is be a little conservative, stretch the dirham, so to say, and take longer. And the other one is to spend the money at the outset, kind of get over the fear, take that risk, and get to their destination faster. The two typical paths, do you think you have a favorite, or do you think these are even the set paths? I found myself relating with one path at one point in my journey and another path in another part of my journey personally. So do you think you have a favorite?
I think the community really helps us with making that decision. So if we see a demand or a need for something or a niche for something, we will put the money in towards it. If it's something that's never been discussed or never been mentioned on the group, then we won't go into that direction. That's true. Probably
and also we see ourselves as customers, so
correct.
Like everything I do is, these are all things that I would do or buy for myself, and that's how I evaluate.
No, I'm just thinking about all the, like, the, I think Selma and I work very, very well together, and we have very different opinions about a lot of things. And I think that's a real plus in our situation, that although I might not necessarily agree with her, or she might not necessarily agree with me, we'll always find a way to figure something out that works for both of us. And it's worked really well in the past, and it really helps with the business. Like, she's not scared to tell me something's a silly idea, or vice versa. I think we're both also extremely, like, we both really like what we do. At least that's for me. I love what I do. I love this business that we've created. And I will work on it day and night. Like, from the moment I wake up, going through everything, to the moment I go to sleep. Like, I don't see it as work necessarily.
As a chore,
yeah.
I agree.
So, you know, we obviously pick and choose what works better for us and what we prefer doing. I mean, there's a lot of work that we both just absolutely don't like, but being part of a business, right? But it still has to get done.
So glad you're the accountant.
Oh my gosh. Don't think I like some of that stuff. I'll do it. And because we're so different as well, I can do some of the stuff that Selma doesn't like doing, and vice versa.
That's amazing.
And that's what works for us really, really well.
If you had to do everything all over,
it wouldn't work. I wouldn't be able to do it myself.
Would you hire help earlier and maybe invest in some things that you now see add value to your business earlier, is what I meant. No?
Well, I didn't see it as a business initially, so I wouldn't have hired help. I wouldn't have, like, if Susan hadn't been there, I wouldn't have built this.
Interesting.
Think that we motivate each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Karim helps as well. He's not very involved, but he kind of sees it from the outside, and that helps giving another perspective.
Of course, yeah.
He has a business background as well, so that kind of helps.
Yeah, I think it helped when he came in. It helped brought us to that level of, we're not just two bored mums.
Yeah.
With nothing else better to do, that we are serious about this, and you know, we will.
That really comes across.
This
is not a hobby on the side. You're serious about doing business. So, as I've been saying through the interview, I do want to know how you guys do it. Are there any tricks? Does it work? Is there any realistic balance that can be expected in life?
I'll tell you what, I've seen so many copycat businesses who have tried doing what we've done and they've failed every single time. And I think for me in particular, it's just about, I love what I do, so I will put in the work, the commitment towards it. And I think that's what you need to do. If you don't love what you do, it's not going to work.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's not just that, it's also discipline. Like, we are consistent. We have been doing these things for years. And you mentioned Sunday Silk, so that's a thing that we didn't talk about, and we stopped it now. But for more than 3 years, I have been posting on the group every Sunday.
Every single Sunday,
every single Sunday. There were no exceptions. And I think you have to be really consistent. You can't just think, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, and go and do it a couple of times.
And miss one Sunday.
I mean, we've seen this many times. Yeah. We've seen some influencers getting codes, and, oh, hey, I have discount codes, blah, 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 here's my code, H&M. Blah, blah, blah. And then they didn't look after these, and they missed the updates, and then they gave up in the end, because you have to
it's a lot of work than what people give it credit for.
Yeah, yeah. into the blogs and now the deals and keeping up with everything. Yes.
Even just the community moderation, I know you guys have help, but you're always aware of what's going on, or even supervising the help,
course,
or directing them, reviewing what they've done. It is a constant presence.
Of course, so the people who help with the posts, they just approve or decline posts, but everything else is basically us.
Yeah. So do you block time, or is it just more organic? I struggle with this myself, with wearing multiple hats. I don't even have as many hats as you guys do with work. And I find I have to block time, otherwise it gets very overwhelming.
I think we're just good at multitasking.
Yeah, exactly. I will do everything all at the same time, like dropping off my kids and like I'll go to tennis or gymnastics or jiu-jitsu or whatever
messages.
It is. And like I'm on my phone a lot.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. But I will drop them off, I'll pick them up and I'll do what I need to do. But in between, every single moment that I get, I'm responding to emails or talking to people on the phone, because every minute matters.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish we could organize it better, actually, but we can't because it's online. It's kind of overwhelming. At some point, I was really stressed out. I think now I can handle it better, but at some point, it was too much, and it never stops when you have a community.
Exactly.
You can never take a break.
No.
And that's when it got overwhelming. That's when we introduced one day weekends.
Yes.
So I'm off on Saturdays and Susan is off
Sunday.
On Sundays, and that's
it's a lifesaver.
It's a blessing, like not having to look, like check the phone every 5 minutes and approve posts or reply to someone. But it's hard, like I'm trying to discipline myself to actually be off on Saturdays, but I haven't actually last weekend. Because I had so much stuff to do, and then I decided to do a reel and to do stuff on Instagram, and it ended up taking me like a couple of hours or 3 hours of my Saturday, and then I was annoyed at myself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like I actually had a real weekend last weekend, so I think that's also something that we really have to learn to take time for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it just never stops.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we had an office to go to and just sit there from 8 to 5 or 8 to 6.
Monday to Friday, and that's
go
it.
Go home and be done.
Yeah.
That would be a dream. But
turn off Facebook for a little while.
Oh my God.
Watch Netflix, put your feet up.
That day, Facebook.
Oh my gosh, Facebook and WhatsApp and everything was off.
That was
one panicking,
day.
Going, oh my gosh.
A year ago, we were so happy.
Yeah, that was a nice break.
So, have you had to make your peace with not being. Even with the extra help, you will still have to be pretty present on the group with Facebook, with the community.
Yeah, and if it's not the Facebook group, it's our WhatsApp message, because we have a gazillion WhatsApp groups and things to look after. And
the business.
Even if it's not internal, like between us and the employees, it's the brands messaging us.
Mm.
They have our employees' numbers, but they still want to talk to us. Look, I'm a vegetarian. You send me a box of, chicken wings, meatballs, whatever. I'll try, okay? Just because, not because that one thing is important per se, but because we want to keep the relationship good with that brand. So we'll do it. We'll go the extra mile.
Mm.
But it's just a lot happening on the phones, on WhatsApp. I really enjoy sometimes putting my phone away.
I can imagine.
I try not to be on my phone so much anymore in front of my children, because sometimes I talk to them, my phone is in my hand, and then I realize it's like I'm busy on my phone, they're interrupting me, I answer their question and I go back to my phone, and it's not the way it should be. If you want to be mindful and present and enjoy spending time with your kids, you have to learn to put that phone away.
It does get really difficult, though.
It does. And I guess we're not the only ones dealing with that. It's
not at all.
It's a problem our entire generation has.
This is it.
I remember my mom working, like, in the afternoons from home. She was working part-time, and she was always bringing back stuff home, and she would sit there and do her stuff. But she would just, like, take an hour, a couple of hours, and finish whatever she had to do, and then she was done.
Yeah.
But if it was now, she would have her phone and she would have her work emails and messages coming in.
Yeah.
It's kind of overwhelming, and I'm not surprised so many people are getting a burnout and don't want to see their phones anymore. It's really stressful.
Yeah.
And I think we have to learn how to manage this.
Yeah, definitely.
Or we won't survive it.
And there's no like right or wrong way, I suppose. Everyone has to find what works for them, and it could be very different for you, as we've seen, as it is from what it could be for me. And I think this brings up a lot of guilt as well. It used to, at least for me, whereas now I've just accepted it as the cost of flexibility, right? We can technically be anywhere and still carry on working. And the cost of that is we can be anywhere and we're still working. So the phone's always on and we have to find a way to switch off.
So one of the ways I found is
working
out.
Ah.
Because when I go to a class, I'm not allowed to keep my phone
That's
next
true.
To me.
That is true.
And I really enjoy that. Just putting my phone, like, I don't even take it out of my bag. It sits there next to me, but I won't look at it.
Yeah.
And that's like 50 minutes or 1 hour where I'm not looking at my phone and actually focusing on something physical. That really helps. And I know that you
it stresses me out.
Really?
It does.
Yeah.
Like I'll play netball and in between all the like the drink breaks, like I'm looking at my phone seeing what's happening and I'm just trying to drink and looking at my phone at the same time.
It becomes a physical, almost an addiction as well, where I find myself
really
going
is.
For movies where, I mean, I've spent all this time to create this space in the week to go for a movie with my husband, but I can't detach from the phone. So I used to trade actively in the markets, with the market, for a good last year. And it just becomes so addictive, even if I wasn't trading, to constantly check the chart, to constantly see what's happening.
Yeah.
And it would be in the evening, so it would be, let's say, quote unquote, in my me time. But yeah, it does get really addictive. So whatever's working for you guys is doing really well and we love to see your growth. It's been a long chat. I feel like we can keep talking about different things, or maybe we can have you over in a few weeks, in a few months, when I'm sure you'll have more things to talk to.
We have plenty of things in the pipeline right now.
Wow, maybe one of the things that we could all learn is this enthusiasm of adding things to your overflowing rota already, which is so
it's not
nice.
A good thing.
No, it's so refreshing. It means that you have the energy to grow and the motivation constantly to grow, instead of saying, okay, yeah, this is it, we're done. Otherwise, you would still be a community, a flourishing community, but you've grown so much from that. So thank you once again for this amazing chat. And it's been lovely to know more about your business in, I suppose, a more formal setting, but in more detail from yourselves. So thank you once again, and I look forward to seeing you soon in whatever capacity we see each other.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
To be honest, we don't reflect often. We don't take the time to do it. So it's been really nice to actually think about this and to retrace it year by year.
Exactly.
And it's been a super rapid growth journey. I hope you guys take that away from the chat today, at least from an outsider's perspective. It's a very inspiring, fast growth that we see. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information. So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.